Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Valentine's Day. Welcome to the Neil and Kristen Baker Psychic Hour. Today we're going to be discussing, well, what is it, Neil? I don't think we really came up with a name, but it's about skipping a past life. Skipping over a past life. So about when you come back and haven't completed that past life and have to deal with that past life in the new lifetime immediately upon entering the planet. So we're going to be doing that. We want to invite our listeners and callers to join us here on Blog Talk Radio as well as Facebook and Twitter. Those accounts are linked under our Blog Talk Radio profile. Call the number 914-338-0164. Please do press 1 so we know that you want to speak with us. And the number to call after the show, 562-596-7818. Boy, I'm sounding a little bit baritone-y today. Got a gravelly voice.
Well, you usually bear tones.
I do bear tones. Okay. So,
skipping over a past life. What is that all about? Well, first of all,
what is that all about?
Page number one is one has to believe that there are past lives. We have past lives. Some people will say, a lot of people will say, you know, I don't believe in that stuff, but I believe in karma. And when they say, oh, I believe in karma, meaning what you do comes back to you in your lifetime. That's what karma is. There was a famous scene in Lawrence of Arabia that had that kind of an agenda about what karma is, where Lawrence saves this man in the desert who was supposed to be meant to have died. He rescues him and saves him. And then later in the movie, the man is caught cheating or something at cards or playing a game. And Lawrence is then forced to kill him. And the man who said that it was karma or destiny that he was to die in the desert, he just says, you see, you gave life and you had to take it away. But karma is in one lifetime. More or less, that was the situation at that time.
I don't think I've said, did you try to make me watch that movie once or twice?
Yeah, one of the best movies ever. David Lean, Lawrence of Arabia. Most people know about it. A brilliant movie.
Probably.
And
should.
In its day, it was called
Commit
The Thinking Man's
it.
Epic. So it had adventure, it had thought, it had content, intellectual content. It was a great movie. It introduced Peter O'Toole. Omar Sharif, Peter O'Toole. They were more or less, Peter O'Toole, I don't know if he was introduced in that film. Omar Sharif might have been. But anyways, great movie, and that was just a cinematic, but T.E. Lawrence, and it was based on a biography and all
okay,
that.
Okay,
but we're not going to get into that.
That's all we have time for today, have a great day.
Now,
karma, you're talking about karma in immediate karma in terms of like what you were talking about in the present life.
Yeah,
what you put out, you get back, and you don't necessarily have to believe in past lives to believe that karma is the real principle.
I've had people know a lot of people, and I'm sure everybody has, who just says, oh, that's karma. Karma will get them. And some people might, there are people who will say, oh, he'll get it in the next lifetime or something like that. But a lot of times people who don't believe in that will just say,
yeah, and I've had experiences where people that definitely don't believe in past lives have used that word karma,
because it's
a
pop term.
Yeah.
You know, they take it to mean it's a pop term, but it, it actually is the consequences of the
and
soul.
In fact has been, you know, has been adopted into like brand names. Credit karma,
yeah.
I think is,
yeah.
So it's more more prevalent than it was in previous times.
And it means that we're responsible to a higher order, that there's a destiny, that there's a program, a code. When we get into programs and codes,
we won't be getting into codes right now.
Of numerology, which we're not going to give away at this point. We're being a little bit more cautious.
Yes,
because
we
of
are.
The, we're, you know, we've got almost, what is it, almost 900 pages.
Well, yeah, so it's like 819 pages, but that's in an 8.5 by 11 format. So like in book format, it's more like 1250
yeah.
or something in a standard size book. So we've got about 1250 pages that we have copyrighted.
They're copyrighted with the Library of Congress,
including past articles we've written.
Oh, everything.
So everything is copyrighted.
So everything's in there, and we're well protected. But still, the big package of the book being published is yet to come because we still have a lot of work left to do on it. But just to say that we have over 800 pages, probably more or less, anywhere from 8 to 1,000 pages of notes that are in a systematic order, but in a semblance of order.
Semblance of order,
it.
And it's actually there's a it's not just rough notes. There's actually a flow and a language. You know,
yeah.
it's not just floppy notes.
It's the first draft.
But I want to also state, you know, this show is copyrighted. We have a copyright disclaimer on the show. And so anytime you publish anything, just to let our listeners know, it's copyrighted. This is copyrighted material.
Yeah.
So
just
a little disclaimer there for those who are listening.
Because our information, you know, I mean, we're sharing it with a vast amount of people. Hundreds of people listen to our show. So,
more than that, I think.
Thousands. So just to let you people know that the information
don't steal from us or we'll sue you.
But the information, beyond that,
I know
the information we're sharing is to us very important.
It's sacred.
It's sacred, and it's coming from our policy of sharing and giving out. I think when the book is published, the depth, I mean, we're just in the shallow end when we discuss these things on the radio. We're just in a little wading pool.
We have to be very careful about what we talk about because we want the book to really be impactful when we release it because of the content of it. And we're not going to dilute that.
Already 800 pages of dense notes. Every page is dense with notes. I mean,
like 1,200 really, but not 800.
And the basis of numerology and how it spreads into other areas of the cosmos and the psyche and the chakra.
And creation and so on and so forth. Okay.
It's a big, broad topic. I don't know if we got on that.
I don't know. But anyway,
because we're talking about karma. So with karma, the depth of karma is not about, what you do comes back on you, whether it's good or bad karma, whatever it may be. Karma has a different principle to it in a deeper definition. Now, for the purpose of this topic, if we conclude or at least assume or we're open to the idea that there are past lives, that our soul is on a journey, think about it. Think about it in your own lifetime. How much have you escaped, avoided, not dealt with in your lifetime? Whether you're a man or woman, how much have you avoided? You haven't gotten done. What you don't get finished, the famous words, it is finished, are very famous words. But what you don't get finished in a lifetime can come back to haunt you in terms of the soul energy.
Right. So in terms of that, when you come back into the subsequent lifetime after that past life where things were incomplete, you're going to be immediately impacted by the karma of that past life upon entering the planet, which means, you know, your early formative years, where the soul and the human will not have consciousness about that past life unless they're, have some kind of seed within them that makes them remember the past life. But that's not really common.
Or somebody informs them, the psychic or something.
Right. But I mean, generally, 6-year-olds aren't getting psychic readings. So you have to think consciousness of someone who's coming back and dealing with that immediate past life is not going to really be at a level that's going to comprehend the conditions of their life.
It's a very interesting subject because there's different degrees of what one does not finish in any particular lifetime. Take the broadest extreme, someone who dies, a child that dies at 3 years old is not going to have the same kind of karma as someone who commits suicide at 22.
Right.
Because and it's not because of a health issue or something like that.
Right, but that child, sorry to complicate things, but that child that dies at 3 may have had a past life, you know, back in time where they committed suicide at age 22. So, you know, it's the accumulation of the past life energy, not just, you know, one past life. That
usually, typically, not all the time, but when a child dies so early in life, the karma is upon the parents and the family.
Right.
That's where the karma really exists. So the individual comes back in for a very brief period of time. There might be a connective energy from a past life that has its immediate impact upon the people who bore the child or the surrounding people that have experiences with the child. So there's this energy that we have, and that's still about skipping over karma from a past life.
Right. Well, so let's talk for a moment, and we're going to take our callers just in just a sec, so please hold on. Or do you want to take our caller and then come back to this?
Well, we'll get, you know, let's take the caller and then we'll come back to our topic.
Yeah, because I want to talk about a little bit, see, because you presented these two ideas, a 3-year-old that dies early and then a 22-year-old dies from suicide.
Or a 40-year-old.
Whatever it is. But from these two examples, maybe we can talk about what the conditions might look like for each of these individuals coming back.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Okay, so let's bring on 401. Hi there.
Hello. Hi, thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. We cannot hear you, though, unfortunately. Could you speak up?
Can you hear me now?
A little bit better. Are you on a speakerphone or headset?
No, my phone I've been having problems with it. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. Who's this?
My name is Carrie.
Carrie?
Yes, we've spoken before. But
I thought that was you. And I just think your birth date I have handy somewhere because I don't remember it offhand. What's your birth date again?
8/6/85.
Okay.
Just to add to your conversation, I had a near-death experience when I was younger, about 10 years old. It was a bicycle injury. It was a fall, and I was actually just discussing this with my significant other last night, so I just found your topic interesting today.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. So do you want to go give us a little bit more information about what happened? So she had a bicycle injury at 10 years old, which definitely could be it.
I was just riding my bike and, you know, it was in a sandy part of the road where the street sweeper didn't catch it. And I got up, it was the first weekend of school vacation. I remember that. And I rode my bike home and my parents, they took me to our healthcare provider who then in turn sent, you know, got me to the ER. And I was in surgery for quite a while. I had a subdural hematoma. So it's one of those things that I was supposed to wake up and they weren't sure if I'd know how to walk or talk. And I was in and out of the hospital in 3 days.
Interesting.
Very, very appreciative. Yes. And, you know, I helped to pass a helmet law in my state, you know, back in the 90s when
really?
This happened, because we didn't have it at that point. Yeah. But I mean, growing up, I never really understood the severity of it.
Well, the interesting thing, Carrie, is, well, one, should you hear that, Neil, that her state passed a bicycle helmet law as a result of her specific accident. So that's a pretty intense energy that you were involved in, you know, getting legislation passed. But also
on a very anonymous level.
I'm sorry?
On an anonymous level too. It wasn't
on an anonymous level,
anything.
But still it was your experience that, you know, that motivated this to occur. And so that's significant. But, you know, she's a 37101. She was 10 years old. That's a energy of your karmic number 10. And also it's eight and two, the division between her month and day plus the month, eight plus two is 10. So on your map, essentially,
Yeah, what it really means, Carrie, too, is that at 10 years old in a past life, you actually died at the age of 10. You come back, like it's a serial. You come back, and this time at the age of 10, it's
you
almost
survive.
Like you go through the death, but you survive because you're in the next chapter. So it's like a cliffhanger. You died in a past life at 10. Then you go, oh, my gosh, you died at 10. Then we go to the next episode where you become Carrie, and at 10 you die, but you don't really die. But in the past life, you did die then.
Yeah.
In this one, you just repeat the energy, but like in a cliffhanger, you go on to the next episode pertaining to that lifetime because you're a 37-10-1.
Wow.
And the extraordinary energy about why it became probably newsworthy or, you know, I mean, they're going to pass a law. Somehow your accident became newsworthy or something in the paper or anywhere where it went through the political channels and then ultimately became a law. That's because you have balances of 8 in your birth date.
Mm.
And you have an 8-6, which is a 14, and 1985 becomes a 14.
So Kara, she probably doesn't know what you mean by 8, but 8 is a power energy. So that's why it had more significance than someone else that may have fallen off their bike and, you know, nothing occurred in terms of,
you know, Jim Brady.
And it's interesting you say 14 because that's my lucky number. It just always has been. So I never
understood why. 14's your lucky number?
Yeah,
it's
just,
your,
you know,
transcendent side, the total of your transcendent side.
You didn't get the notoriety of a name like Jim Brady, or there was the little girl who died and they have a name for, I can't remember her name. But there is it didn't become the Carrie Law. I don't know. You know, sometimes the notoriety becomes important, but that probably is because of a death. You didn't die, so the name just became anonymous. Okay, so anyway,
do you have a question?
No, we were just talking about this last night, and, you know, just kind of navigating life, and, you know, I've just always wondered because it's sort of, not that I feel guilt, but, I mean, I remember when I went back to the hospital because I had staples, I had 18 staples in my head after that injury. I had half of my head shaved going into, like, you know, I was 11, sixth grade in 1996, I remember, and just, you know, wondering, I mean, why was I spared? So, you know, it just clarifies a lot for me, and I think I'm at a point in my life now being 32 and a half, metaphoric in the road of trying to make decisions and just wanting to leave more of an influence, you know, in my next professional endeavor. So it's what I choose to do next. I don't want it to be a job, if you will. I would like to contribute.
So you haven't decided about what you're going to do in terms of your career?
No, I have a lot of opportunities and options, and I'm just really not sure which one.
Really? So last time we said don't be a flight attendant, stay closer to home, but you still haven't decided that, I guess.
Yeah,
well, the closer to home opportunities keep presenting themselves, but I just actually got one this morning, so I think I'm
going to go what's that, just out of curiosity?
Working in a law firm.
A law firm?
Yeah.
Which is more along the lines, I think, of what we were suggesting to do last time. But, I mean, you know, it's tricky when there are a lot of options.
You could probably benefit from a depth reading, but beside that point, your life carries on a destiny level. You're compounded, so there is some controversy, convoluted energies going on to where decisions are not always as rapidly made. Every human being goes through a decision process when they're going through an occupation, I mean, to some degree. And you're going through that now. You're 5 years prior to your big journey at the age of 37, but because you're compounded, you're still in the midst of a second layer of energy. And that second layer of energy, you're actually still walking through a sort of karmic world. And that karmic world is going to increase and kind of be condensed in your soul, which ultimately moves into your consciousness. So your consciousness receiving these indecisions and you don't know what to do, that's coming from a rich pool of information from your soul that you're only grasping kind of in your peripheral vision of interpretation. So as you move deeper into that pool, you'll realize more what's going on, and that sometimes takes a little bit of guidance and whatnot. But okay, so we hope you can listen to the show.
Yeah, we'll put you on mute.
Thank you both very much.
You're welcome, Carrie. Thanks for sharing that. Good call that came in because it really pertains directly. Kind of weird that she was talking about it last night.
Yeah. Well, sure.
So what were we saying?
Well, we're talking about how to jump, how what one in a past life, what one does in that past life to produce karma.
Right. Well, okay.
Right.
Right.
But what?
But no, I was, I think where we left off, but you can go ahead. Go ahead.
No. Oh, well, interject whenever you want to.
Well, no, but okay, go ahead.
Because I'll just go on.
It's a gift. The gift of gab.
Gift, yeah. Because if, at least in this, me, for myself, having done tens of thousands of readings and tens of thousands of hours in research, you really do feel you ultimately get into the idea that you're embedded in a higher consciousness of some sort. I mean, you have to be. And
who,
it goes
who
anybody,
is?
Doctors, plumbers. It doesn't matter.
I mean,
are you
talking about
in the area of the psychic realm?
Okay.
If you devote a life to the subconsciousness, and that goes deeper into, even when we were getting into the first theory of psychology and Freudian aspects, and then it started to branch out into parapsychology, and we got people like Carl Jung and people like that talking about cosmic consciousness and our relationship to the universe. I mean, this is not something that Freud came up with. Even Anna, his daughter, I mean, everybody started to branch away. Erickson and people like this started to branch away from the idea of who the father of psychology was. That even goes back to Aristotle. But in the element of expanding from the human, unique human experience to a cosmic experience, to a level of that our mind, it goes beyond the concept of our immediate experience. And we just don't have karma for the first 5 years, as Freudian would say, and then we're locked into a personality, into an ego, id, and superego, that we suddenly expand beyond that. And as the school of psychology expanded, and it became more apparent that the mind was not confined to the immediate body, that the mind was immediately absorbed in something regarding the universe, because even Freudian had a symbolism of dreams. The Interpretation of Dreams by Sigmund Freud is a thick, thick book, and he goes into great depth. But the confinement of his interpretations doesn't really lend itself to a cosmic experience. He was a scientist. He was a doctor. So when we get into, but so was Jung. He was a doctor too, a doctorate. But when we get into the idea of what is the expansion of the mind into the universe, now we can approach the topic of past lives, because anything that is parapsychology is beyond the consciousness of the immediate mind. And we get into this idea, and then we get into the idea of symbols.
Right. And that's what Jung, I mean, the archetypes and things like that, where it went beyond Freud's.
Yes.
Escape of dreams.
Now we can trace
world.
That back, right, to the Earth's origins of symbols, all the way back to the cavemen.
Right, I was going to say the cavemen, the drawings.
Symbol. What was the first symbol? It was the hunt, the individual and the hunt, and the idea of man's relationship to animals. Usually the cavemen did it through through weaponry, spears, and things like that. But there was a surrounding energy. If you notice a lot of the caveman drawings, they're circular in fashion. They're usually a circular energy, or they're in alignment. They're a line of energy. If you study, they're fascinating to study the cave drawings where they were originally produced. A lot of them were in France. But the alignment of the first prehistoric symbolation of symbol, which was the first movie. Because they would draw these paintings on the wall, and then they would bring a fire in, and the fires would ripple. The rippling of the fire would produce the images to move, and who knows, they were probably high on something. They ate some cactus or something, and then they had an interpreter, a shaman, or a leader of the tribe, an interpreter, that would ultimately interpret the movement of the drawing, which occurred into the origin of the the earthly energy. Now, a lot of our interpretations go back from there and then branch forward to our present time, but it's still on an earth level. Jung brought it, and others brought it into an idea of beyond the planet. So in that regard, when we get beyond the planet and we get into the cosmos and what he called the collective unconscious. Collective unconsciousness. Think about that term, because it's the collection of the unconsciousness. But the unconsciousness means that we're not conscious. We're not conscious, but there's a consciousness connotation in it, so it's buried. Because the collective unconsciousness isn't meaning that there's no consciousness, because the idea collective contradicts the idea that there's no consciousness. It's a collective unconsciousness. That's what the beauty in the terminology.
Right. So it has a consciousness.
It has a consciousness.
It has a consciousness.
It has to.
It's
a pool of information that is not readily available to us. So it's got to come from something outside.
Right.
Now, Freud would say, well, it's buried. It's repressed, suppressed, all these terms that came up. Oh, we just don't remember. It's buried in our brain somewhere. We just don't have recall. And then we have to go to, and then we come up with these terms, past life regression. Past life regression, sometimes is they open up the primal scream when you even go back to the birth and you have that primal scream. But that's the origin of birth in this lifetime. But what about the individuals who ascribe to past lives and try to ascertain the content of those past lives into their immediate lifetime? Into their immediate surroundings.
So we were talking about a couple of examples before we took the caller. And, you know, I mean, in terms of those examples, 3-year-old dies young. Karma goes on parents. More involved karma for the parents than it is for the child. But then there's the 22-year-old that may die from a suicide or a wasted life type of thing. So in those examples of that we provided, what those look like, the 3-year-old coming back into the next life, because obviously the life is quite unfinished. I mean, if you live to 3 years old, there's...
Not really. If the 3-year-old dies and the only part of the 3-year-old's life was to
provide right.
the energy of the people around them, then that life is completed.
That life is completed. However, if that 3-year-old is coming back and isn't transcending, I mean, then there is something incomplete.
Well, then you know what would happen. In the current life, at 3 years old, there would be a drama. There would be a tremendous drama.
Wait, you mean after they come back?
After they
come back, having died at 3.
After they come back, and then they're now 3 years
right,
old.
Right, something
again,
like...
be a drama.
Right, something like Carrie experienced, maybe at 10.
Could be.
An injury.
It could be a
something in the family.
Of the parents.
Right.
Something would happen.
Okay.
And that might be connected to the old karma still, or it might be a new seed, but yet carrying through the soul of the individual, there may be some residual energy pertaining to that particular past life where there was death at 3 years old. Now, someone in 22 or 35 or 40 that
ends the life prematurely,
that takes a gun
intentionally,
or something, hangs themselves, there's content there that is left. That gets put into the collective unconsciousness of the soul. That person who dies at their own hands, his or her own hands, is presented with a set of circumstances regarding the content up to death and the karma and the immediate energies of the lifetime up to the point of death, and then what should have occurred after death. I mean, what should have occurred after death, meaning that what would have happened to the person, you know, in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, what they were, one, destined to do, but that they broke the contract, and then what they were creatively what kind of creativities were available to them in order to make the rare choice of free will within that lifetime.
So this is controversial.
Including suicide.
So,
but consequence.
So this is controversial as well, because a lot of people that are in, you know, ascribe to metaphysical ideas believe that, you know, there's grace if you commit suicide and you just go to heaven, that there's forgiveness. And our
you know, our contention is that there's a lot of karma involved in ending a life prematurely.
Well, but jumping over on the other side,
we're not judging people. No.
Because we don't.
But we have
you know,
to.
There
I
might
mean,
be
for
some
the,
grace. To,
there's
going to
be.
There might be some legitimate energy to assisted suicides.
Right, if you're terminally
that,
ill, for instance,
euphemism,
there's a difference between that and.
Or yeah, some people die. They deliberately know they're going to die, but they sacrifice their life.
That's not suicide, though. It's not the same thing.
It's a term that yes, it's not a deliberate suicide, but you're still consciously taking your own life.
You're sacrificing your own life. You're sacrificing your own life.
Yeah.
You're not taking your own. Someone's not putting when you're. I mean, you don't sacrifice your life and put a gun to your head. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Well, no. I mean, there is a clarity between someone who is, you know, out to be faced with a lot of problems. They're going to go on trial and they hang themselves in jail, or they shoot themselves before they have to be arrested. There are a lot of people who just kill themselves for whatever reasons, or their turmoil, or their emotions are too much. Anyways, we're going to get the call. But that becomes a content. Of energy that follows one.
Follows.
And that skipped energy.
Follows the soul.
It follows the soul and then manifests into the preceding lifetime.
Right. And this is not a judgment. We're not sitting here in judgment of people. I mean, we all have our own past life content that we're dealing with because we're all on the planet. So it's not like, you know, we're saying, well, you know, we're condemning you for being despairing, committing suicide. That's not it at all. But I mean, you know, there are consequences also to our actions. That's how karma is constructed.
It's explanations, yes.
So, okay, 402. Hi there.
Hi.
Hi.
I was just here, and I was just listening to your discussion, and I didn't know if you were doing any reading like you normally do.
We are, Sharon.
Okay, great. Since it's Valentine's Day, I guess I'm kind of wanting something, anything you can pick up regarding love.
Okay, Sharon, let's get your birth date and location, please.
I'm old. How's that?
No, don't say that.
I'm in Nebraska. 8/31/57.
Okay, 8/31/57. 11/12/22, and she's a 34/7. Okay. We've talked to you before, right?
It's my birthday, though. I don't remember doing that.
I'm sorry?
I said yes, but I don't remember doing my birthday.
That's yeah, well, that's good because we can give you a little background then. So you're 34/7, so your karmic number is 34, your master number is 7, and in, let's see, 1991, there should have been a change at the age of 34. Can you go back to 1991, Sharon, and try to remember what the change was?
You know, there had to have been something because one other person years ago said that to me, that something happened in 1991.
It might have been us. I don't know.
No,
really?
No, it wasn't.
Really?
Else,
so
yeah.
Can you remember what happened in 1991? Do you have any children or is there maybe a divorce?
Yeah, I do.
A move.
Well, I got an annulment.
In 1991?
I thought it was in 90, but yeah. Yeah.
Okay. There's a 9-month window.
Sure. Yeah, I graduated from college in 90. I got an annulment in 90, 91.
That would be it. Graduation from college. Okay. So.
That might have been when I found out my ex-husband had leukemia. So.
Oh.
I mean, there was some. Stuff going on around then, but he wasn't here. But
okay,
so kids, you know,
is this your only marriage, or have you been married a second time?
There was someone I was in love with, you know,
in love with,
spiritually married, not legally married. But
did you live with him, or was it just, did you live separately?
We lived separately.
Okay, and then when did that break up?
It just kind of got stalled because of things I was going through. I just kind of pulled away, taking care of my mom and dad and a lot of things.
Okay, and you are 60 years old, correct?
Yeah, I told you. I'm old.
Well, that's not old.
Did your ex-husband, did he die of leukemia?
Yes.
What was his birth date?
4/13/57.
Well, it's interesting because, Sharon, you're 60. You're going to be 61 years old, and that's 8.7 cycles of your master number, which happened to be your month and your year, 8/7.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's interesting. So in terms of that energy and someone else coming in.
Well, you see, what happened with the husband,
I have
Sharon,
your
day was a 31. That adds up to a 4, which is his month.
Well, it's also his reverse day.
And then you're born on the 31st, and he was born on the 13th. Your master numbers together are 7, which
seven
is
and
10,
3. Yeah.
Which is 10,
you know,
which provides a, in essence, there's some problem in there that he had forthcoming. How old was he when he passed?
36.
36.
So he went
6 years beyond his.
6 years beyond
his karmic number,
but
30.
Still, it was a multiple of 12,
right,
which is your month and his month added together. Mm-hmm. Okay, and so it's same with the year.
And it was his. It was two cycles of his master number beyond 3 and 3, 36.
That's good.
So he died on the cycle.
No.
So Sharon, you're asking about love coming up. So
our anniversary was on the 12th.
Oh, interesting. What
weird.
Was the anniversary date?
But, you know, he remarried on the same day. He had the same, he remarried someone that on our anniversary. Isn't that weird? 12th.
Yeah. What was the anniversary date, the full date?
August 12th.
8/12. So that's
was ours, but then he got remarried on August 12th, and I don't remember when they got married.
But this is so typical, because you're an 8 in your month, and he's a 4, and 8 and 4 is 12, so it goes on like that. What's your, real quickly, two questions. What's your child's birth date?
Yeah, my son was killed, and he was also an April baby. He was April 18th, 82, and
this is your son with
a daughter.
Guy, when what's her birth date? 5/13. Well,
August
interesting.
15th.
More interesting. What? I'm sorry. Say that again.
Yeah.
Her date.
August 15th, 79.
So your son, 4/18, happens to be the 13 comes up again, right? 8/9/13.
Oh, yeah.
So that's on the month and day. It happens to be your inverted. Your inverted day and your husband's day, 13,
and
23,
your
33,
kids,
6.
Your kids together were a 6 and a 4. How did your son die? How was he killed?
He was murdered.
Under what circumstances?
He was home and they broke in and they shot him.
Who was they? Were they just intruders or people he knew?
Two of them he knew. The rest of them I don't know. It was never.
And how old was he when he was killed?
22.
Okay. So love. We've got to get back to her question.
So you have a complicated energy there. We don't have time for that. But here's the thing about love. On the roadmap, there will be a male energy. Now, this I'm not saying that this is the person, but on the roadmap, there will be a male energy named Mike.
Which could be not necessarily the person. What you mean is on the roadmap. It's not necessarily the person you're going to be involved with, but that is like a signpost for that coming in. So it will be
Mike will pop up but I don't think it's Mike, but he'll appear first. And then what you're going to do, it might be 8 months later, as much as 8 months later, that this new individual comes into your life. And this new individual was involved earlier, in his earlier years, he played soccer, he was sports. So he liked sports. Today he's not doing it, but he likes the game, you know, and all that, and he likes sports. But it's not like overwhelming. It's not like, you know, he's obsessed with it or anything. He just had a past life with sports. But we're discussing that, yes, if you're saying, am I going to fall in love again, or is someone going to fall in love with me? Yes, it's coming up. You know, I mean, the overall energy of your karma goes to up to 68, where there's a renewal of your 34. I don't think you're going to have to wait to be 68. You might have to wait to be 62, but it could happen anywhere between now and 62. I'm not real.
Well, 63 is her. It will be another cycle for her.
63, yeah.
Seven times.
But you see, 34 is not divisible.
No, I know.
So it's one year.
So there's
year,
a, I know, there's a
difference.
1 year.
Yeah,
so
you're right, though, 63,
yeah.
62, 63. And there's going to be something to do, I don't know if it's already something you've experienced, but there's something to do with a bird. So were there any birds in this lifetime, any pet birds, anything with birds so far?
Yes. We had I had two birds. One of them, you just couldn't stand to be separated from us, and he died of heat stroke. It was very weird. Sad. But my son always wanted to come back as a bird, and I just this summer had a peregrine falcon sitting in my bird bath in the front yard.
She had a what?
I had a peregrine falcon sitting in my bird bath. Okay. And I drove up right next to it. It never got scared. It never flew away. It let me take pictures, and I've had falcons coming a couple of times. It's been very bizarre. I'm an animal person, and I used to treat rescued wild birds.
I even went to a lot of birds going on. So that validates that.
Yeah.
Your son said he was even wanting to come back
so
as
that
a bird
been a sign.
The falcon thing.
Yeah.
So that's a sign
from
for
your
you,
son.
Sharon. That there is somebody coming.
Yeah.
We just did some mystical decoration around it. And, okay.
So that is, you were going to say something? We have to move on to the next caller, Sharon. But what were you going
to
say?
I wanted to tell you that, you know, the other person that I was in love with, he's also a 13. And my mother was a 13. And I have all these 13. It's always been like a lucky number.
Oh,
for me.
Well, yeah, it's your day. I mean, it's not your day, but it's an inverted day.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the numbers will reappear and reappear
they
when
will.
You're. Yeah, definitely.
13 is a 4, and your daughter
four.
Is a 4, four. My master number
four.
2.
Yeah, you have to reduce it. So 13, 4.
Uh-huh.
Okay, Sharon. Well, good luck. Good luck. Check in with us again. Let us know if someone comes in.
Okay. Happy Valentine's Day. Thank you.
Happy Valentine's Day to you.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Yeah, that happened at a house reading. Remember, there was a sign from a hummingbird, and we were dealing with the spirit.
Yeah.
Do you remember where we were at that reading?
No, I don't recall where we were. Oh.
Yeah,
there was that. Yeah.
And you had talked about, we were at this house reading, and Neil had talked to the client who had lost a son prematurely and said, you know, there's going to be a hummingbird that will signify his spirit is around you. And Neil and this client, I think, stepped into another area, and I was by their backyard, and a hummingbird came up and, you know, flew suspended. I was shocked. I mean, it happened right then. So so it was, that will happen with souls.
It does happen. It does happen. You know, You have those little kicks in life. Even Paul Revere and the Raiders came. Oh, even Paul Revere and the Raiders came back from a past life and became a group.
Well, especially, I mean, we're not saying people get reincarnated as birds necessarily, but especially if the soul is connected to the earth still, then they can appear.
There's a lot of storytelling, including biblical storytelling, where spirits go into animals. They go into hogs and they run into the sea. There's a lot of justification, at least in fiction, that stems to be from an oral tradition, that human beings can fall into the
elements
into
of nature.
Animals.
Yeah.
And also that even demons can go in there. I mean, as much as angels.
Okay. All right. Yes. Let's bring on our next caller because we only have a few more minutes left. Hi, 503. Who's this, please?
Hi, this is Barb.
Hi, Barb.
624.
Hi.
Yeah, I've called before.
Yeah.
2469.
Great. Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. My question.
And you
is,
asked about, last time you called, it was like 6 or 7 months ago, and you were asking about a relationship, I think, if I remember correctly.
Yes. We're planning to move in together in April.
Great. Congratulations.
And thank you. And I'm in graduate school, so it feels like I have a lot of big things going on. And I'm just wondering if you guys could take a look at that. And
sure. What are you studying, Barb?
Counseling.
Great. So you're moving to get in together in April.
Yes.
Get my little calculator out. Yeah, it's your fire number. What's his birthday? I know we have it somewhere, but not handy.
3/15/62.
62. 3/4/19. What's he do?
He's a teacher.
Okay.
What kind of teacher? What does he teach?
PE.
PE.
Yeah.
Well, he's got a 5 in his fire number, which is a strong physicality energy of 5. So what did you add it up?
He's a 9 and she's a 1.
Oh, 9-1. Yeah.
So do you want to say something?
No, I'm just trying to add this up. Go ahead. I mean, I know
you
added
counseling.
It.
Counseling. So you've done some counseling already, right? You're in graduate school?
Yes.
So you've done some counseling already. You've counseled, right?
Well, yeah, we're practicing right now, but, you know, with friends, it feels like, you know, this is a natural fit.
You're graduating with the counseling. You're going to graduate school for counseling, and the counseling you've done so far has just been with friends?
Well, it's just been practice, so I'm not moved into my internship yet. So then
you don't do
really
clinical
start.
Yet, but you'll be doing clinical.
Correct.
More practice in terms of clinical. You'll have actual people that need counseling that you work with.
How old are you right now?
I'm 48.
Well, good for you for going back to school. The situation, you see 48, when you look at 48, now listen closely, because this isn't complicated. When we go to your day, we have a 4, and the 2 and the 6 become an 8. So when we look at your birthday going backwards in time, 4, 2, 6 is 8, 48. You're hitting right now an element, and 6 times 8 is 48. And so there's an element there as well. So what you're doing is you're getting ready to graduate, which your master number is 37. In about a year's time, you probably will be counseling. How many years off do you have school?
Yeah, in a year's time, I will be an internship.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then when are you completed?
The following spring.
So that's what I said, 2 years, I would say,
but
2 years in the
year.
But that will be at the age of like 50 years old, which will be a cycle of 10.
Right.
You have a good 20 years of practice ahead of you. So, what you'll do, Barb, your last name isn't Wire, is it?
No.
No.
Hilarious.
No.
That's your middle name.
I do know her last name. She's on our Facebook.
Okay. What will happen, Barb, is you're going to be given a female client. And this is somebody you just this is secret information. You'll know them from a past life. And it's somebody that you were destined to help. And then that person will be going through a lot of trouble. They'll be a little bit obese. They're very sensitive. They're kind of a wallflower. They're not into the in crowd. And they have a lot of trouble. It's going to be very challenging for you. But you're going to become her mentor, a mentoress, whatever you want to call it. And you're going to guide her through. And this is going to be very important for you in terms of the initiation of how you introduce yourself to the clientele world. And then from there, it's going to branch. And then from there, it's going to branch into more clients. You will have male clients too. You will have male clients too. And you know, your approach is going to be kind of an eclectic energy, but it will probably be.
Yes.
We were talking about this before. Probably be post-Freudian. You're going to be taking.
Yes.
Assimilating the energy. Okay, so we're on the same page.
So do you have a specific interest though? Because I mean, there are counseling centers for women, or are you planning on, seeing
adults?
Doing something
kind of adults, mental health. Yeah.
Adult mental health.
Because this is, that's right. That's right. You're going to be empowering a lot of people. I mean, you've gone, the journey you've gone through has been a prerequisite. You couldn't get it till later. What you have in your energy, you have a compounded 69 in your year, and then your first and last numbers become a 692.
69 also.
Yeah, which absolutely is a 15.
Not a 692, that would be a 2.
But
69 also.
So what it means is that you had to go the first 49 years, 50 years of your life had to go through this energy. You had to experience all of this before, you became a late bloomer. But then you kind of got into an area of maturity and grounding and stability where you're able to enter school without dropping out. And then from there, your graduation ultimately to your degree in counseling, and then it's going to move forward. Was that the question she asked? What was the question she asked?
She was just asking, it was kind of a general about her.
Oh.
She's moving in, seeing what's happening, coming up in her future, which I think we accomplished. Is there anything else real quick? Because we're about a minute away from closing here.
Okay. Well, you said he's a 1 and I'm a 9. Is that a conflict?
Well, it actually becomes your energy of 1 again.
It's
9
not a
one,
conflict
it's,
at
it's,
all.
It's a union of energy.
Yeah.
There's a completion energy about 9 and 1.
You're a 37,
okay.
10, 1, and your 9 and 1 become a 10. So it's not a conflict.
Mm-mm.
I mean, it's...
You can find, positive and negative in any number system, but there's a correlation to your own number system in the combination of the numbers. So that's a good thing.
Your first two numbers come to a 9, which is your last number. Your years are interchangeable.
Their five, their fire numbers come to a 9, which is his master number.
Okay.
There's
a green light for this.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you. So much. I love
You're welcome. It. No. Arella. Barb Arella. Get it? Barb Arella.
Oh, Barb Arella.
I've heard that. Thank you so much.
We're trying to...
Were you ever in Vietnam?
We're teasing.
No.
Okay. Yep. So we're glad you checked in, Barb. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. All right. We are out of time, Neil, so we're going to have to just pause our chat and continue on the next show, which is on Friday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern. And we hope to hear from you then, callers. Thanks so much. Bye-bye. Don't say